I have a brief introduction. Let me just check and see if Steve, if you're ready, and then I'll go to the introduction. K2GOG, are you about ready? Go ahead.
And 6NDF from California, Jim, Bob here.
Good evening, Jim. I am ready and standing by. K2GOG.
Okay, very good, Steve. Okay, Steve basically needs no introduction. You know, he's been on this net many times. He's presented and been involved with the net from its inception. Steve, as you know, he's the founder of the Mid-Hudson Valley Digital Network, HVDN, a group that this net's closely affiliated. Steve's a cellular telecommunications engineer with an eye for the innovative, and he'd like to bring amateur radio in that innovative direction. So tonight we're going to hear some interesting things. A few weeks ago, Rick W1RHS presented and talked about how powerful just a single RTL-SDR device is, but what happens when you have five SDRs working together in concert? Well, tonight you're going to find out. Steve will be talking about the Kraken coherent hardware device, and this uses basically five SDR devices. So we're going to hear all about that, as well as some other interesting things going on in the SDR world. So without any further ado, let's go over to Steve, K2GOG.
Thanks, Jim, and I can always count on you for a fantastic introduction. So thank you so much for the kind words, as always. And I guess I'll just kind of repeat. A few weeks ago, Rick W1RHS gave a fantastic presentation about software-defined radio, and I thought it would be a good time to jump into exactly how Jim said. What happens if you're trying to use more than one SDR? And with the basic RTL-SDR dongles that most of us probably have that run about $30 or so, there are a number of benefits and interesting applications that you can extract if you connect a bunch of them together. So I guess for a little bit of back history, when you have an RTL-SDR dongle, you have a clock source. And basically, in order to get two SDRs working together, time is the most important thing. And so what you would need to do first is share the clock source between multiple SDRs. And so there's higher-end software-defined radios made by Edis and a bunch of other companies that are probably outside of the realm of most mere mortal amateur radio operators. But if you did want to experiment with something called coherent SDR, that's basically the root of it, is you have to share a clock source between them. And when you do that with two of these devices, let's say the inexpensive RTL SDR version 3, I think it's probably one of the more popular and stable ones out there. Let's say if you modify them and attach the clocks together, what you would allow yourself to do is to take the tuning range of the maximum 3.2 megahertz bandwidth, and you'd be able to, with the appropriate software, be able to double.
Steve, you timed out at exactly 120 seconds.
Yep, sorry about that. I time out transmitted. Stand by 1 second. Yes, I realized that I need to keep an eye on the clock. I didn't have a chance to modify my TOT, so I'll do everything in 2 minute increments. Good. All right, so with that, moving into talking about the coherent SDR stuff. The first device that was kind of available to the amateur radio community was the Kerberos, which is also offered by the guy who does the RTL SDR V3. That basically is four of these SDRs in one box with a custom ability where it sleeves the clock source together. And each of those operates as an independent from each other SDR. You can operate them as four separate SDRs, or you can operate them together. And so that offered a lot of really interesting things. Basically, if you plugged in that earlier device, you know, you could get it basically to show that you have four radios connected to your one computer, and you'd be able to do all different things. Standby, let me drop. All right, so with four of these, what are some interesting things that you can do if you have these four attached together with the same time-based SDRs? A few of the applications that were developed involve radio direction finding. So you can have four of these radios, each with its own antenna, and if you position them in the right sequence, either in a square or in a row, then you can use the time delay of arrival. And so for the split seconds or split milliseconds that it takes to go from one antenna to the other, in this case four, you'd be able to see on a map a heat direction and a compass bearing of where that signal is coming from. So that was kind of the cool thing. And then let me explain about some of the limitations of the first generation product. So one of the limitations, and I think this is kind of probably something lining up with Pete and to MCI, is the first generation, when the original came out, it was right before the Raspberry Pi 4 was available. And the Raspberry Pi 3B Plus, let's just say it needed a little extra horsepower for it to do some of this computational math to do things like radio direction finding. So that was one limitation. Another limitation is the original was extremely power hungry. So you needed to have a really good 2.5 amp or better power supply, much like we've all come to learn about running our hotspots. You had to have separate power for the Kerberos, and also then you'd have your separate power supply for the Raspberry Pi. Drop. Okay, Jim's calling me on the phone, so let's see what that is. Standby. All right, so I have Jim on standby on phone. Moving onwards with these devices that you can do things like radio direction finding, now we have this new one, and there's a lot of different things that this solves. And you can go on to the website, and there's lots of great details of some of the different engineering things that they've improved upon. First one is they've added a fifth receiver. So the reason why you have five is if you're looking at these four receivers with an antenna, and let's say you have them all arranged in kind of a square, having a fifth antenna actually is really important because it gives you an additional level of 3D sensing, and it will increase the accuracy of radio direction finding. So that's the first thing and what makes this a neat device. Drop. All right, the next thing that's really important about this is it solves a lot of the different power and stability issues. So it makes it a lot easier for you to to get this thing up and running when it's available. Right now, it appears, due to some of the semiconductor-related supply chain issues, expect this out. Standby. Sounds like the radio gods are not being kind to me here, so I'll just monitor myself on the cell phone, and I'll know when I drop out. So I don't know what everyone got, but basically the new device is going to be pretty interesting. And so for somebody who's looking to go the next level up in terms of software-defined radio, what's better than having one when you can have five? So I think this is probably something worth keeping on everybody's radar. There's other information out there. I think there's a lot of other doors that this opens up versus getting maybe, say, a HackRF or a Lime SDR, which has wider bandwidth, but you're kind of limited in some of the different things that you can do with that. So I think, you know, keeping an eye out on the Kraken is probably going to be important. But one of the things, as we've all learned with SDR, is the S is for software, and the software part is probably what holds back a lot of people from getting the maximum out of their hardware. So let me explain a little bit about some of the software here for the Kraken, as well as some other applications that you might want to keep an eye out for. All right, so moving onward here. So what about other SDR software? I'm talking about the Kraken. Mainly it's directed for people that want to do radio direction finding, or say if you want to monitor four or five independent chunks of 3 megahertz or so wide spectrum, that's something that you can do. But in order to unlock that, there's different applications. And I know Rick touched on some of these, but I think some of them that I'm going to mention were maybe a little bit newer to him. And so if you are interested in playing around with these kind of more advanced pieces of hardware or advanced software, the first application I'll talk about, and for those that look at the HVDN notebook blog, you'll probably see often reference to a piece of software called SDR Angel. Let me let it drop. So what SDR Angel does is probably one of the more unique pieces of software that are out there today. One of the things that makes it unique is that, one, it's cross-platform, so if you're a Linux person or a Windows person or even an Apple person, same piece of software could run on all three. The funny thing is, it originally started life as a Linux application, but one of the things that's kind of annoying about it is it actually is really annoying to get it set up on Linux, because every time that the developer comes out with an update, you have to recompile the software. And recompiling software, as anybody probably knows, takes forever to do. And so that's kind of irritating. I would say roughly probably every 3 or 4 weeks, there's a new version with new features. And this has been going on for probably about 3 years. So there's lots there. I suggest for people, for SDR Angel, use the Windows version, because when you want to upgrade to the latest version, it's as simple as just uninstalling the old and reinstalling the new, or even over-installing the new, and then you can have multiple versions on your computer at the same time. Let me let it drop again. And one thing I'll just kind of point out, I'm using an Olingo MD5 XTG, which is their newer version with the...
Okay. Let me turn it over to the group and see if anyone has any questions. Please call.
I can think of two applications right off the top of my head that require multiple receivers to be synced into operation together in order to function. One of them is the radio that you get over the satellites. I guess there's two receivers there, or two satellites that are operating on slightly different frequencies, and you're trying to sync them up to get the radio signal. They call that, I'm forgetting the name of the radio now, Sirius radio. The other one I'm thinking of is AIS, Automatic Identification Shipping, or something of that nature. And that's the one that identifies all the commercial shipping traffic. With this device, and is there any application that would possibly handle that kind of a solution? Over.
Questions, Tom. So, first application on XM Sirius, yes, that would be a really great application for it, and some smart person is going to need to come up with the ability to do that. Along the same lines, which I think they transmit, I think they're KU bands or maybe L bands, I forget. But there's applications within some of the software that I mentioned where you can actually use that software to essentially make a software-defined GPS. So if you can receive GPS signals and you can receive something like XM Sirius, certainly you can do that. I have a feeling that it's encrypted, and so that probably has some issues, but I know there's other free-to-air satellites out there that you might be able to do that with. That, I think, is a little further out there, but it's a good question. Let me let it drop, but then I'll talk about the AIS thing, which is actually a lot easier.
Over to you, Steve, for a comment.
So AIS is like the APRS, but for boats. So if you're into boating, you would have a transmitter that sends out your position so other boaters can make sure that they don't crash into you. So one of the things that you can do with SDR Angel natively is you can decode AIS. And if you have just a single dongle, single SDR, since most of those frequencies are all relatively close in the 156 to 161 megahertz or so range, all are within the tuning bandwidth of a single SDR. So you can actually decode the AIS frequency, and you can decode marine channels 16 and 9 and 22 alpha all at the same time with one radio, but because those are all in the same band. If you had a Kraken device, now what you can do is you can monitor, let's say, AIS in the VHF band, and if you wanted to monitor 1090 megahertz for ADS-B for aircraft, you can do that, and you can monitor local UHF communications. So you can basically monitor multiple bands at the same time with one device. times five. So you have basically five independent tuners from each other. So curious what your thoughts are on that, Tom. Back to you, WB4TMK2GOG. So SDR Angel does decode AIS. So real quickly, I'll run through some of the different things that it does. So natively in one piece of software, this does ADS-B, so that's for aircraft. And now I know also SDR Uno is their software. SDR Play is the company and hardware. They recently added aircraft, but SDR Angel has had this for a while. So it does ADS-B, it does AIS. So if you're looking to decode marine traffic, or if, like for me, I live in Poughkeepsie on the Hudson River, you know, basically it's just tugboats going up and down. That's pretty much it. It does regular AM broadcast. It does APT, so that's the weather satellites at the 137 megahertz. It'll decode that. It decodes ATV. So when I say ATV, that's like amateur television, but it will allow you to use this for the old protocols of NTSC as well as PAL, which are no longer used by broadcasters, but it still exists if you want to play with it, or if you have like baby monitor cameras and stuff. So it does that. Broadcast FM for the usual 88 to 108 megahertz. It decodes LoRa, which is typically used. It's a spread spectrum of communications. It does DAB, which is a digital broadcast, more popular in Europe. Let me let it drop. I'm just going alphabetically here. All right, so it does DAB. It does DATV, and this is probably going to be interesting for you, Tom. So DATV is digital amateur television, and there's a number of different modes. So there are actual free-to-air satellites that you can use this to decode free-to-air satellite with. Is kind of unique. Hold on. Okay, now I'm back to transmitting. All right, so DATV, it does DATV. You can use that to monitor free-to-air satellites with the appropriate antenna. It decodes all the digital modes, DMR, Fusion, P25, NextGen. It does free DV, which I think is more or less used on HF by amateurs. It does regular good old narrow FM. You can decode, and also if you have a transmit capable device, you could also do APRS packet. You can do POKESAG paging decoder from like hospitals. It has radio astronomy if you want to get into that. You can decode the 60 hertz radio clock. It does sideband, it does VOR, so if you're into aircraft, you can see the local beacons by your airport and broadcast FM. So, you know, there's a lot that I probably skipped, but those are kind of the gists of it. SDR Angel, it does a lot. Back to you, Jim. All right, thanks, Jim, and thanks for everyone's patience regarding the transmit dropouts. I don't really have much else. You know, a lot of this information you can find out there if you do the Google search, but, you know, there's a couple places where you can find a lot of it all in one spot. The RTLSDR.com blog is pretty good. Of course, I'll be shameless and plug the HVDN blog. There's a lot of SDR-related articles there. There's a project that HVDN has been working on, thanks to Joe NE2Z, called SigPi, which basically is like a thing called Dragon OS, which is like a pre-compiled image, which has a lot of the software already baked into it. But what SigPi does is it installs a lot of this by script. And the benefit of doing this is if you already have an environment like a Raspberry Pi with other stuff on it, this way you can run SigPi and install a lot of the popular software as you'd want it without having to worry about all the weird interdependencies and other things that you need to get some of this more advanced software running on a Raspberry Pi or Linux. So you can look for that. There's some articles that Joe has posted on the HVDN site. So, you know, hopefully this just gives a little bit of an update on some of the next generation of SDR that is attainable now, not some of the stuff that's like way far out there, like a thing called future SDR, which I'm not going to get into. But for the here and now, there's a lot more to explore, and hopefully this gives you a good idea there. So this is K2GOG. Back to you, Jim.